strength coach Mike Denora. And Mike, I met on Instagram, and I am in the what I like to do is I like to meet really strong people, and especially really strong people who are smaller as far as stature goes. So Mike is, you saw some of those clips. Like Mike is I believe 5'7 or 5'8 and like 160 to 170 pounds. And the weight that he is moving is just absurd. He's one of the most knowledgeable strength coaches that I've met, that I see. There's just so many wonderful strength coaches in the world, and I have this thing where I'm like, I want to be surrounded by the strongest people, and I want to learn from the strongest people, because that's what I'm interested in. So this is a great podcast. Hopefully you will find some valuable tips in there. We just have a good time, two dudes shitting around talking about strength, and yeah, let's get into it.
All right, here we go. All right, what's up, guys? We got some technical difficulties, but we're here. We're here with my man, Michael Denora, Mike, and the Instagram handle, Neuro Strength Coach. And I met Mike. This is again, this is the running theme in all my podcasts. I'm like, I meet so many fucking amazing people online, and I'm like, this is just such a beautiful thing. But I don't even remember how I came across your page, but I was like, Jesus Christ, this guy is just doing absurdly ridiculous feats of strength. And I was like, all right, I gotta follow this guy. So, but before we get into all of that, and then we started talking, and then I was like, dude, we got to share some of this stuff on the podcast. But what I want to know, kind of, I want to get like, give me two things. Quick little intro, but give me your origin story, kind of your background, how you came about to doing this, developing this strength, like what led you to here. And then the second part that we'll go into is like what are some of the 'cause some of the stuff you're doing is just insane, but like what are some of your personal favorite accomplishments? I'm not even gonna like while I was waiting, I was just going through all the stuff that you're doing on a regular basis. I'm like, this is crazy. So I'll let you get started with that, and then we can get into the other stuff.
Awesome. Well, first off, thanks for having me. I'm not a stranger to podcasts. My company, my business partner has a podcast, and we're always on there, being controversial as normal. But so I have a very odd story, as most people when they get into strength training or anything, out of the ordinary. But essentially, my origins came from mixed martial arts. I grew up always doing something, whether it was old school karate or boxing. My dad was a boxer. I just kept evolving with that. And then, I'm not the biggest guy on the planet. I'm like 5'7". So my entire life, I've always been a little bit on the smaller side. So I'm like, all right, what do I got to do to be stronger and, just give myself the best possible chances and just be like prepared in all aspects to beat all the bigger guys? Because I was never, you know how it is. You never have a training partner your own size. Everybody's like 6'2", 220, the whole nine. So I've been rolling with big guys my whole life. And so I got it. I went from egotistical bodybuilding. I'm not nothing against bodybuilding, but ego bodybuilding when I was like 17, because I gotta show people how big and strong I am, right? All this stuff. I got into like Mike Mentzer, high intensity training, which is again right off the bat, I'm starting my journey against the grain, which is the the common theme here. And then from there, I got a little bit stiff. I was just doing all hypertrophy and stuff, got super stiff, realized I needed to get back into like the whole body weight stuff, go back to my roots of like calisthenics, went the whole gymnastics route, did that, got really proficient at like street workout, planches, the whole nine, like just built it up from scratch using bands. And then from there, I kind of figured out how to break down exercises and like, oh, I you don't just keep going up in weight. You got to master every aspect of the exercise, what the lagging muscle groups are, what leverages am I lacking, all that type of stuff. And pretty much reverse engineered it to get good at jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and MMA. You know, dabbled in MMA, fought professional Muay Thai in Thailand after college. Just did my thing. And then...
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Before that, I got into Westside Barbell Conjugate training from one of my mentors, who was the manager of the gym I worked at for a couple of years. And he got me introduced to conjugate training and just switching up main exercises and just working the force velocity curve and just kind of breaking things down to like concrete numbers, physics, you know, no bullshit. Just,
yeah,
this is what you got to do. You know, 3-week pendulum waves, all this stuff that's against the grain, obviously, but it's worked, and it's really good. And so pretty much that's that. And then, we did college, got my master's from LSU. And then I decided I want to be a naturopathic doctor. So I did 2 years of that and then realized that I absolutely hated it. I hate patient care. I hate patients in general because they don't want to do shit.
No.
And so I just stuck with my roots. I've been a trainer since I was 17 and I'll be 30 next month. So here I am. And I got to give a shout out to Range of Strength, the Kosher Stogie. These are all Instagram handles. Just for getting me to think outside the box and instead of stretching, doing like weighted stretching and just like get back into the old school lifts and just doing really weird shit.
Yeah. Damn. No, that's what. So what you started bodybuilding or you were doing martial arts your whole life. And then you got into bodybuilding.
Martial arts is the constant stream throughout, and then I kind of like just all my accessory stuff, you know, I just dabbled and more focused on business and stuff now, but I have a huge passion for like technique and philosophy behind martial arts and not just learning moves, like concepts, you know, stuff like that,
which this is one of my notes, as you know, we'll get to this, but one of my questions for you is like, you know, what is your overall or overarching philosophy? Because I think that's very important. Most people just do stuff to do it, you know, and they don't know why. And so nothing ever really comes together. My story was very similar to yours. It's like, except mine was basketball. So I was always the smallest, skinniest, the skinny fat guy.
Yeah.
But I loved to play, and I was able to, you know, be good enough to play high school, college, etc.
Awesome.
And it was the same thing. I was like, well, it, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever, I didn't start getting into lifting until like more strength training until like the last year of college. And the moment I remember, the very first thing I did was I'm gonna forget the guy's name, but he's one of the like OG YouTube kettlebell guys. But from there, I found out about Pavel, Dan John, all these guys, Louis Simmons. And the first time I started doing kettlebell work, and then like the first moment where you experience strength that you didn't have before, like I was driving and then I got bumped. And normally if I get bumped, then you know, I'm losing the ball or whatever, but this time I got bumped and I was like, I was able to finish. I was like, oh shit. That literally was like, okay, I need to go even deeper into this. But you, so what was there a moment or was there, what was that experience like where, you know, once you started to get strong and you started to experience that strength in competition?
Hearing the pads smack when you're throwing like Thai kicks and having people look over like, what, that kid is doing that? Yeah. Like how come that big 6'3" guy, I'm not even hearing him, you know what I mean? Like it's just I think it's like a perfection of like just moving in through time with strength, like, or through space with strength, you could just create like a the most efficient movement path. And when you can do that, like that's technically what technique is, right? You know, like if someone's squatting, they're like wobbling, like knees wobbling, they're not being efficient, they're wasting too much energy, like trying to stabilize, like, but it just, things just click. It's just like these like aha moments. Or for me, like even if I was rolling with some like 2-stripe black belt or in jiu-jitsu or something and I survived, like I just having him afterwards like take the mouthpiece out and be like, dude, you're fucking strong, man. Yeah. Like, I was like, yeah, yeah. Like, cool. You know, like, just stuff like that. Stuff will put a little grin on your face. But it feels like things are finally clicking. Yeah. You know, it's like everything comes together and it's like, ah, it makes sense now, you know? And then that just never ends. You know, you might not get one of those for another 3 weeks, 4 weeks, but you know, I always say you got to look back at your previous self from like 6 months ago and like laugh at him, you know, like, way stronger now, way better now.
It's such a, I always think that I was like, if I was doing the stuff that I've been doing, well, if I had all this when I was actually in high school and college,
yeah.
Like even today, like I'm 35, like my college version of myself, who's a college basketball player, would not stand a chance against my 35-year-old version. And, you know, it's just, those always feel good when you have bigger guys and just people are like, dude, you're really strong. And like no one in my entire life would ever had said, dude, you're so fast and athletic.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that all the time now at like 35, like, dude, you're so fast. And I go play with like, you know, the high school guys or the college guys. And it's just such a good feeling. Which you're 5'7" and like what, 165 now?
I fluctuate between like 167 and like 171, somewhere around there. But it just, what I've noticed is over time, like, I'm not big into like, oh, I'm going to bulk up, become like fat and then cut. Like, to me, you should just be like constantly like lean bulking your entire life. And maybe not on purpose, just by the weights are going up. It's more of a growth stimulus on the body. Like, you're going to get thicker. Like, you know, you can't max effort lift all like two or three times a week and then think like you're going to just stay the same forever. Yeah. You know, there's only so much you can max out your frame, and then your frame gets bigger, you know, bone density, whatever goes up. But yeah, right now I'm around like 167. Yep.
You mentioned this thing, neurological strength. And that's something like most people don't fully understand. How would you kind of explain that to people, and what kind of role has that played in your training and your experience? And even like, what is a simple breakdown for people?
Absolutely. I would say everything comes from the brain, right? And with that being said, obviously heart goes into it, you know, like toughness, you know, that's, you know, without being said, but strength starts from the brain, meaning you can have a gigantic bodybuilder who is weak. Now, don't get me wrong, it's going to be stronger than somebody without muscle, but he could be like weak for his size, like giant muscles, but doesn't have that much strength. And that could be in range of strength, like, you know, like the guy maybe can't lift his arm over his head, but then at the same time can press like 315 for reps. So what I tell people is picture a Ferrari or like a Tesla, right? Like a Tesla Roadster S, like the crazy fast model, and has a Prius battery in it. Like, it's not gonna, like, it looks cool, it's all fancy, like, oh sick, that's a Tesla, but then it's like 0 to 60
can't
and like
go,
yeah, it can't go. And then it's also like, just, it's essentially your nervous system is an electrical system. So can you send the voltage to where it needs to go when it needs to be there, and how much, how fast, right? You know, they talk about like rate coding and like the motor unit and everything. But essentially what I just came to realize is that strength does not come from muscle. And you know, people are like, whoa, there's an overlap, obviously, right? Like, I don't focus on aesthetics. I look pretty good with my shirt off. I don't care about what I look like with my shirt off. It's a byproduct of me being strong and functional. You look at a gymnast, they have crazy biceps. A lot of it's from straight arm work. And that goes against, everything. He built a, you know, giant biceps isometrically, you know, in the lengthened state. So it's essentially just everything comes from the brain. No one understands my Instagram name until they train with me or they see something I do and they're like, oh, I get it.
Well, that's why I was like, oh, I started looking at all your stuff. Cause to me it made immediate sense. Cause I'm like, my gym. So I had a gym for 10 years. I just recently leased it out to my buddy, but our gym was my business partner as well. It was a bunch of small dudes lifting ridiculous weights. And so like, I'm 5'11", 155. Yeah. Like, I cold deadlifted 425. You know, my business partner is like 5'7", 165.
Yeah.
His deadlift's like 600 something. I don't know.
Yep.
But it was that same thing of like, you know, we were trying to, we would constantly tell people strength is a skill. Strength is a skill. It's not, you know, how big your muscles are or whatever, that, that can help.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't developed the skill of strength, you're not going to be able to display, you know,
Absolutely. And another thing too, is like, there's, is people see, hear the word strength and they're like, oh, that's strength training. It is so, there are so many types of strength. It is such a blanket statement to say that you're a strength coach, because, you know, you got some people that are addicted to powerlifting only. They don't do anything other than the three main lifts. Then you got the old school guys that are doing like bent presses, you know, like circus style lifts. Then you got the strongmen, they're doing like Atlas stones and all this stuff. There's so, everything is good. So like one of the common phrases I say, I was like, hashtag is like, do it all. Like, oh, well, you know, you're doing reps and momentum. They're like, oh, dude, you're not going to get the most hypertrophy because you're using momentum. I'm like, actually, you can get a shit ton of hypertrophy from using momentum and getting a weighted stretch and getting hyperplasia in the muscle and not just hypertrophy. I'm like, look at some of the dudes that are doing like these wrestlers. They just, they're doing like crazy amount of like weird cleans, a lot of like walking uppercuts with giant ass kettlebells and stuff, and their traps are like built like giant ass neck. And they're using all momentum, you know? So it's, everyone makes these black and white statements, and it's just, you're dumbing yourself down by making these statements. There's, I always tell people, there's a, no such thing as a bad exercise, just poor applications of good exercises.
Yeah. No, you know? That's why, I mean, your Instagram is just full of things that I'm sure you see.
What, like, my buddy?
Yeah, no worries. I'm sure you, there he is.
Getting lonely.
I'm sure you hear all the time, but like some of the stuff, for example, the most obvious one is like, you know, any type of Zercher movement or a deadlift Zercher or a Jefferson curl, like people just go, they'll lose their mind. And this is the conversation we were having the other day. Like people telling you what to do, or this is good, this is bad. When you look at them and I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? You know, it's like, and it's funny because people don't
fear.
Well, like what you just said.
Uneducation, fear-based mindset, weak mind, jealousy. It just comes down to these haters. And there's people that are like the strongest people on the planet are like, dude, nice lift. Sick. Like, even if it's like a weaker person, they're like, nice, good. The weakest people are the biggest shit talkers. Oh, that's dumb, dude. Oh, it's going to break your back. Wait till you're my age. I used to do all that shit when I was young. No, you didn't. You didn't do any of this stuff.
You
did it. Like, you're lying. You know, like, and cool. You did it when you were young. What happened? You fell off.
Because you didn't fully understand what was actually going on.
Yep. Or, you know, you just didn't, your training was not varied enough. You kept doing the same shit over and over again, the same leverages. Like progressive overload is obviously a real thing. I use it 100%, but people think it's infinite and that like you could just go and do the same press every week, add 5 pounds every month. You're going to do that until something breaks or until you can't add 5 pounds anymore month. That's when people start thinking outside the box and realizing that maybe I need to vary my training up and like start to break down these exercises. Why can I not lift that extra 5 pounds? What is the limiting factor? Is it connective tissue? Is it mobility? Is it, I'm just, one part of my tricep is weak, like the medial head, and that's why I can't press through. Like, where's my sticking points? Yeah, it's like troubleshooting, and that's why I love strength training, because you're constantly fine. Yeah,
that's one of the things I was like, I remember you shared a thing about overhead pressing, and overhead pressing is one of my, like, that's one of my favorite lifts.
Yep.
And I've gotten my overhead press to like, you know, 160, 165. Oh, yeah. But I'm like, I would love, and you were telling me all this stuff that you do to, you know, have people, oh, you shared one of your guys who did a 205 overhead press.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all the stuff that you had him doing. And, it's like, yeah, like the progressive overload only works to a certain, it'll work, you know,
yeah. But
I mean the, you know, that thing, if you could add 5 pounds every week, then by the end of the year, you know,
people would be lifting houses by now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like, it's, and you get,
what are you doing?
Dog's like rolling around. He's hilarious. He's like me. He can't sit still, but runs in the family. He's probably more in shape than most people. But yeah, I tell people, I'm like, all right, progressive overload. It's not like I don't believe in it, but you're only doing it for one lift. You need to take that same concept and put it to your accessory, and then you need to select your accessory to benefit your main goals and everything. I tell people, like, the smart people will have a primary accessory. They'll be like, oh, cool, I'll do this rack pull, and the rack pull will help my deadlift. And then there's people that go, well, what will build my rack pull? Yeah. And then there's people that go, well, what builds my rack pull, which builds my, it doesn't end. And you could just keep this. It's like jiu-jitsu. It's like your chest. Yeah. It's just layers. Some people are 12 moves ahead of you, you know, and those are going to be the strongest people. Those are going to be the ones that think outside the box. The ones that aren't going to tell you your spine's going to snap in half. Like the dork on my page the other day. Oh, don't, buddy, make sure you squat vertical spine, because I have two hernias. That's good for you. I told him it's probably because you only squat vertically. You know, like you're only doing knee. Well, I want to know how his knees are. If you only squat with a vertical spine, you're essentially doing like a goblet or, you know, like a front squat or something your entire time. How are your knees? You know, you only do that.
There's no context either, because I'd be like, what did you squat? Like, how much did you squat? What does your squat even look like?
Correct.
You're just saying that's one of the things, you know, you take both sides. You have those people who they just feel the need to share their wisdoms or their opinions, when it's like, clearly this person has produced some pretty significant results. And rather than take something from that, you go, oh, don't do that because I did this. And you just ignored everything else that, you know, this person is showing you, you know.
That shows you their mentality, because you can learn from everybody. I actually have this one, people laugh at this all the time, and I'm like, listen, it sounds messed up, but it's the truth. I was scrolling through Instagram one time, and I saw a girl, a white belt with Down syndrome, doing a rolling knee bar that I loved. I was like, ooh, obviously she was taught to it. It was like there was someone demoing their clients or whatever that was special needs. And I was like, that's genius. I just got one of my favorite techniques from somebody with Down syndrome.
You know what I mean?
Like, you can learn. If you read a book, you go, oh, this book's bullshit. You'll probably take 1, 2, 5 things from that book that are true. And then you could toss the rest of the book out. And, you know, people, you need to have discernment in order to be able to.
And that's a very valuable skill. Like, you know, I mean, we all saw what happened in the last 3 years with people being butthurt about everything. It's you know, you can have a different opinion, whether it's founded in anything solid or not. And then that's okay. Like, we can still have a conversation. You don't need to feel like
you're an idiot, like you're just attacking somebody, whatever. Like, but no one can have it, no one can sit down and have a combo anymore. It's just it's only emotion. Yeah. You know, you're on the wrong team than I am, so you're an idiot, I'm smarter than you. Yeah,
silly shit. Which, you know, that's one of the things I was gonna ask you is, since we were talking about all these people, because I, you know, in Silicon Valley, we get so many tech bros and guys, and so these guys are super successful. And yet their bodies are like, I'm like, you have, you know, I don't know, what's the most, I don't know, broken down car on the planet that can't go, has zero power. And if you tried to push it, it would fall apart. And you're sitting here because you have competence and success in an area, you won't allow yourself to be open to be like, okay, I'm missing something here. Let me put aside what I know and find out. Dude, there's so many people like that. And especially here, but same with, you know, that kind of feeds into that part of that conversation we're talking about, is like doctors. Like, I've never listened to doctors ever. I had crippling back pain in high school and college, despite playing, right? Doctors like, you know, just gotta deal with it. They didn't know.
Stop playing,
you know, blah, blah, blah. 1 month into strength training in 2009, back pain gone.
Yep.
A month into strength training. Oh, turns out I was just weak as fuck. That's all.
Correct. So. And most pain comes from that. And listen, you get hit by a bus, it is what it is, right? There's some shit happens. Obviously, there's, you know, things that's real pain. You get shot, you got to deal with some injuries. But all this soft tissue stuff and this nerve pain and everything, I got away from the medical side of it, because what you're dealing with, whether it's naturopathic, whether it's allopathic, you're dealing with the same thing. Someone's putting a Band-Aid on your symptoms. And I'm thinking like, oh, I'll go the naturopathic route. I'll do like, you know, like nutrition and all that stuff, whatever. They don't even do that, because where the money comes with that is still selling supplements or doing a procedure or something. So maybe instead of a cortisone shot, they'll immediately resort to PRP or PLP or something like that. Now, there is a time and a place for everything. I'm not knocking that, but most of the time people are just lazy. And in order to get permanent results, you need to fix yourself. And whether that's with a coach or whatever, you have to be the person doing it. You can't have things done to you all the time. So like, yeah, massage is great. Chiropractic adjustments, great. All that stuff, I'm not knocking it, right? One of my best friends is a chiropractor. He fixes people like all the time. But what does he tell them after he's done doing adjustment stuff? Yeah, bro, your low back is trash. You got to go hit reverse hypers. Like, you got to, you know, go train with Mike, go do whatever. Yeah. Like, You need to build yourself up from the ground up. Buy a set of bands. Start doing bodyweight. Good morning. It's like, your low back sucks.
Yep.
Make it not suck, you know?
Yeah. No, that's a great point. And taking personal responsibility is like that. That's why I was able to fix my shit, because, yep, dude, I had to sit out weeks at a time, and I'm like a 19-year-old kid playing basketball. Yep. Why am I having to sit out? And, you know, not the school trainers, not the doctors, nothing, which is what led me. I remember being on forums back in the day trying to find a gym. Luckily today, there's so many great strength coaches and resources. Back in the day, I remember you couldn't find anybody locally. You would have to like stumble into it, you know?
Yep.
But it's like, if I hadn't done that, then I would probably be one of those guys just like, I guess I just got to deal with it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I'll take painkillers. I'll numb it. Kill the nerve endings with a cortisone shot or something, you know? Like, just, yeah, you don't feel it anymore. It must be gone.
Yeah. So, yeah. What is your kind of overarching philosophy on the body and health?
Essentially it's pretty much the same thing. It's weakness-based training. So everyone, your mind, your body's a reflection of your mind. If you're injured and you're broken down, something's wrong here. There's no person that has a perfect mind and that their body's like all broken and messed up. It doesn't work like that. So I take health and strength training and everything is just, I look at life like a video game, like Fallout or some one of these, you know, build your own character, all this stuff. You only have so many amount of points like to start with, but then from there you can keep going up. So what people do is they go, I love powerlifting, right? You know, I'm gonna be the best powerlifter in the world. They just focus on these three lifts, right? Boom, 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 keep going up, something breaks, right? Stuff like that. To me, I think you should be completely balanced in everything, right? You know, you can have tendencies, but like, I have a little bit more absolute strength than relative strength. I weigh 360. I'm not good at pull-ups. I get it, right? There's, you know, but to me, you fill in all the gaps, you focus on your weaknesses. With that being said, you need to be accountable, you need to be honest with yourself, and you need to have that mindset where you're not egotistical and you're not running away from your problems, you know, like, oh, I don't do that. I don't like to do those. Yeah, because you suck at them. That's why. Yeah. So I just hunt down weakness, and that could be from functional range conditioning when it comes to the joint, right? Like, could be connective tissue, stuff like that. There's a million ways to diagnose it. You can do it through movement screening. You can do it through individual, you know, measure your range of motion. You can measure the force output in these specific ranges. A million ways to do it, right? But essentially, you hunt after your weaknesses. You fill in that gap. And it's like whack-a-mole. Then another weakness pops up. You're like, cool, my hamstrings sucked before. Now they're really strong. Now my quad's actually the weakest point, and they were strong before. And you just like, and the goal is to constantly chase the weakness and work everything at the same time. Like, never neglect something, but you put more energy and effort into the things that you're bad at, and then the things you're good at will go up by default. Yeah. You know, so yeah, it's just a very holistic approach on everything, and then just cutting out bullshit like junk volume. Like, again, if you enjoy it, you have a good time, you like to just run on a treadmill all day, great, it's your cool, you could do whatever you want, that's the beauty of life. But I'm all about efficiency. You know what I mean? You don't need to be in the gym 7 days a week. If your diet's on point, like what it takes to look amazing all year round is not that hard. Once you get to where you're at, like it's pretty easy to maintain, but then you also have to realize that you know such thing as maintenance. So you better be slightly improving forever or you're
going in the other direction. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just think like forward progress, analyze like what's the issue. You have to be your own troubleshooter, you know, or have someone that can do it for you or teach you the ways.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like, it can be overwhelming to be like, okay, well, how do I do this? And that's where, you know, coaches come into play is like, you want to have somebody who A, knows what they're doing and can help you get to where you want to go, but also makes it manageable because
fun,
you know, and fun. Yeah. And like, if I'm hearing this, I'm like, oh shit, I don't know it. Any like how am I going to do all of those things, but having a coach, it's like, oh okay, like that's actually not that. And even we're in the field, I don't know if you know I know you said you had mentors and whatnot, but like I always like I know what I'm doing, but I like having a coach because even I'm like, oh I want it. And for us, it's like, you know, it can be like enthusiasm, like I want to do everything, like I'm same as you, like I don't want to get tired, I don't ever want to get winded, I want to be the strongest, I want to be super, you know, bouncy and athletic, I want to have all these qualities. And so I get into my head of like, okay, now how do I put this together into a cohesive plan, you know?
That's why I train conjugate. I figured it out. I had a business coach one time and they were like, yeah, you need to find a niche. And I'm like, bro, listen, I get what you're saying. Logically, yeah, like I help these people do this. I help these people do this. My niche is no niche. You need to do everything, right? I became obsessed with all these components like over the years. And then now I just put it all together. It's not that complicated, but in order for it to be simple, you have to know why. It's like, you have to understand the why. Like I have so many people, I try to teach them like how to program like someone like on a conjugate programming. And this could be a 90-year-old or it could be an elite level geared powerlifter. It's not West Side's only for geared powerlifters. It's dumb, right? It literally like physics doesn't change. Like it is what it is, but you can, it's just a framework. It's a skeleton. So you can just plug and play, be like, oh, he's a sprinter. Cool. I will make these things that will benefit him. This guy is a pitcher, is, you know, like, oh, cool. He needs his right shoulder needs a ton of attention. Like, you know, it's all malleable, but once you like break it down, it becomes so simple. Like, you know, like, if you like gymnastics or you like weightlifting, like you can max out on like a chin up. Like if you want to take conjugate, right? Max effort upper, right? You don't have to do an overhead press. You don't have to do a shoulder press. You don't have to do a pin press or something like that. You could be like, dude, I'm going to see the most weight I can do for a chin up today. Or then the next week you could run a wave. If you want, you'd be like, I'm going to see the most I can do for two chin ups, or I'm going to switch to a pull up, or I'm going to do a mixed grip, or I'm going to do it from one ring. There are infinite amount of things you can do as long as you're getting that maximum stimulus on max effort day. And then you can do a dynamic effort if you're into athleticism, or you could do a more like submaximal day, whatever, like gymnastics focused day. There's no right or wrong. Well, there's a bunch of wrong ways to do it, but once you figure out the system, it's just I do a lot of online coaching. Everyone's like, oh, you can stick give me to a plan. I'm like, did you write my plan yet? I'm like, no. I'm like, why? I'm like, I don't know what I have to do yet. I'm like, I need data. I'm like, so I'm going to give you some stuff. We're going to experiment for a while. You're going to send me some form videos. Like you're just constantly getting data. And then you're like, cool. Awesome. Yeah. I see that video you sent me. See your hips shot up over there. Yeah. You're whatever. This is weak. Cool. And then we're going to fix that. So it's constantly changing. And you know, there's like mesocycles, all this stuff. Do I run them on a 4 week wave? It's 3 week wave.
Yeah.
It could definitely get overwhelming, but. It's
but that's
fun.
Why you have coaches. I mean, you know, I wouldn't write, you know, I used to have this thing of like, you should be able to, you know, do this for yourself, which I still think you should be able to, and have this level of simplicity. But I don't think somebody can have simplicity unless they have mastery. And so,
well said.
You know, and so in our field, it's like, or any field, to be honest, if I'm a guy, I'm a tech guy, and I want these physical results, I'm spending majority of my time, whether taking care of my work, my family, whatever other things that are a part of my life, I'm not going to spend the 15 years you've spent mastering, you know, the body. But I can go to you and you can help simplify it for me, you know, because I used to think that I'm like, oh, you should just be able to do this. But then as I've gotten older, I'm like, no, like that's
time.
Yeah, it's you have to figure out what's the trade-off here and what's important to me and how am I going to prioritize the different pieces of my life.
But you want to figure it out when you're 50?
Yeah.
Or what about this? Let's say you really are independent, right? Like I'm like super independent or whatever. I could pay somebody for a year and they could accelerate me 7 years of not, I'm not saying results, like of knowledge or something. And now I'm on a better path to do it on my own. Like just a little like, you know, jump start, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like just to get the ball rolling a little bit. So it's not like you're dependent, you know, people think about coaching. It's like, oh, you need him. You don't need anything. No. Do whatever you want.
Dude. Yeah. No, I mean,
have a good time.
It's I made a post earlier today or something, I think. And I was like, you know, I had like 12 years of getting zero results. And, yeah. And it took me for, you know, however many years to kind of put all the pieces together and figure things out. Most of that time, I didn't have a coach. I was looking at stuff from Louis Simmons, Dan Jump, have all these guys, right? And then, but I'm like, I could have, those 12 years of knowledge, I could have gotten all that knowledge. And if I could go back and teach my 15-year-old self into like 6 months. And now yep. I would have got to enjoy the results of this body for an extra decade. You know, what's that worth? You know?
Yeah, I put things to numbers with people, whatever. I just tell people, let's say in theory, you make $100,000, right? And your coach goes, hey, yeah, I'm going to coach you the whole year online or whatever. It's $5,000. People are like, oh, I'm not spending that money. I'm like, the health and well-being of you and potentially your family, because if you're the breadwinner or something, you know what I mean? Like you're in charge. You're not letting 5% of your funds go to you being a better, healthier person, stronger, more bubble. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's plain and simple. You know what I mean? Now, listen, if you make 25,000, 5,000 is 20. I get it. You got to survive and stuff like that. But try to put in numbers. Like people aren't even willing to put in 5% of their financial like investment. And then I think if they can't put in 5% financial, how much effort you think they're going to put in if you end up getting them on a program or whatever. They're, you know, I always say that my number one success, I actually got this asked by a new client the other day on onboarding. And he goes, what is, dude's ex-wrestler, he's going to be a stud, right? He's going to crush it. I could tell from day one. I could tell right off the bat if someone's like, eh, you know, maybe. They're like, are they ready? This dude's like ready. He has notes and everything. He's like, what's the number one thing that you think is going to, or what's the most common theme that you think would make someone unsuccessful at the program? And I'm like, lack of communication. People get like afraid. They think I'm like their teacher or like their principal and I'm going to yell at them or something. Like they're just like, oh, work's been busy. They just ghost you. They stop answering you and shit like that. And I'm, that's it. If you have communication, hey dude, rough week. I'm going to get back on it next week. Those people crush it. They have a week off. Who cares? Life happens. You know what I mean? Like life will go on, but yeah, the people that don't communicate, they're just like, they're like ghosts. They're like hide. You know what I mean? It's just cowardly. It's like, that's the way I see it. But
I totally agree with you. When I talk with a new client, I'm like, dude, I always tell people up front too, that's a great question for him to ask.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you can't do anything wrong other than stop communicating. That is the only thing. There is no outcome other than success in the time that we're going to work together, except if you don't communicate. And I get it. You know, I get it. You know, people have a lot of self-judgment and shit like that. And it's like, rather than, but on the other side, it's like, if you, whatever you think or feel, if you just ask and communicate, all of a sudden you've solved the problem just by getting it out of your head.
100%. I had a client that was into like powerlifting and stuff. She's like, yeah, she's a freak strength, like nuts. Like she's like 5'1" or whatever. Like, or not, I think maybe 5 foot. She's like overhead pressing like 155 or whatever. Like,
Jesus.
It is a girl, right? You know what I mean? Like just insane. And, And she's, I just talked to her one time and I'm like, question, I'm like, where are you going with this? Like, do you want to like be like, I'm the strongest woman? Like, I'm like, you want that? Like, what route? I can take you wherever you want. Like, you let me know, whatever. And she's like, yeah, I kind of don't care anymore. I'm like, all right, cool. What do you want to do? She's like, I want to get lean. I'm like, let's do it. And we just switched. How would I know if I didn't ask her? You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people are like, not saying she was afraid. This girl's awesome. She's like, yeah. But like, I just wanted to see where her head's at, like every now and then, and communication. Now she got a whole different path, entirely different training regimen. I'm like, listen, your strength is through the roof. We're going to calm that down a little bit, right? Yeah. You still lift heavy, but we're going to cut the reps down a little bit. Like, you know, we'll stray away from max effort for a while, for a little bit. You know, you can still max intensity, but max effort lifts, you know, let's not get you bleeding from the eyeballs for a little bit. Let's focus on your diet and like change your priorities, you know?
Yeah. Well, we do think, and I hammer this again and again. I ask them why, what do you want and why? And don't censor yourself. I'm not here to like tell you.
Judge.
You should. Yeah. I'm not here to judge and I'm not here to tell you what you should do. But, you know, there was a long time in the gym where since my business partner was a very high level powerlifter, everybody started doing powerlifting and powerlifting was becoming big. And I would sit down with people. I'm like, look, why are you doing powerlifting, bro? And he's like,
lifts.
I just got, you know, I want to build my bench and my squat and my and I'm like, cool. But why? And they wouldn't have an answer. And I'm like, look, if you told me, I can tell you my business partner, he fucking loves the deadlift. He loves fucking powerlifting. He's obsessed with it. So it makes sense for him.
Yep.
But I'll be like, for you and me, you know what I like? I like looking really good and being strong. I don't need to spend the amount of time that he is. And by the way, you're putting things out of priority. You're spending more time in the gym and you know you want to be leaner, but you're not focusing on your nutrition. You're just in the gym. And so like you're not gonna get what you want. Plus you're spending all this time, like,
you know, you're running in two different directions at once. Like, some people, I'm like, listen, I can get you whatever you want. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I will put you on the path to do whatever you want. You want a classic physique? Fine. Sounds good. But there will be consequences to whatever road that you take. So I try to get people to, they'll see the light eventually after a while. They'll be like, oh, I don't actually really care about what I thought I cared about. I just want to be like you, where you're like, you look great with your shirt off. Everyone's coming up to you asking you like, dude, what do you do? You wrestle, you power lift, like something's up with you. What, you're strong. What do you do?
What are you doing?
Yeah. But at the same time, that person, like, you know, like I race my friends that are like skinny track runners. I'll smoke them. And they're like, what the hell? I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm ready for anything. Like, oh, my CrossFit friends want me to go to their CrossFit gym. Not a fan. No big deal. No big deal. You know what I mean? They're like, wow, you're pretty good at the snatch. So I'm like, dude, I hate snatching. I'm pretty good at it. You know, like, because I do one arm snatches. So this two arm shit's pretty easy.
Not bad,
But it's just so much. What do you want? You have the whole life to figure it out. You got to put your eggs in, like, you know, or my business partner talks about water in a bucket. So many buckets in life, you only have so much water. Like, where do you pour? If you want, if you want to focus on your family, like, you probably need to take some bucket of water out of some other buckets that are consuming too much time, and now you're neglecting that bucket. You know, it's like,
it's that's super interesting. And you know, I'm that's why I'm the same exact way. I'm like, I can do pretty much anything I want physically.
Yep.
And what I found, and which is why I renamed, you know, my business to the Strength Method, because I'm like, that's the foundation of everything, the physical strength. But you know, what was always important to me is like, and I'm going to ask you this as well, if there's you know, what other insights you have on this, but I was like, the stronger I got, the less tired I got. You know, so those are two big components. And being, you know, mixed martial arts, people don't really understand the wind that you need to have. And so it's always hilarious to me, people talking shit. And I'm like, bro, you know, 10 seconds, you would be gassed. Not even 10 seconds. But Ben Patrick, knees over toes guy, he made the most, he broke this down. I got to find it. I wrote it down in my notes to bring it up in like content, but he was like, people spend so much time trying to build their endurance by running more, doing X, Y, Z. And he's like, I would run miles and miles and never got in better shape. Nothing. I started cardio will never be good strong. Enough. I was in better shape. I could run longer. I wouldn't get winded. And so that was so, and I experienced the same thing. I was like, I would run for, I don't know how long, but I was always fucking winded. Here I am getting stronger. I'm not tired anymore, you know? But what are your insights on like, cause having wind is so important, like being strong and not getting tired. Those are, I think, the two golden qualities as far as physical attributes go.
Yeah, we could say that they're on the two different ends of the spectrum. You know what I mean? Like one is like body weight running, like just run, right? Yeah. Endurance, right? Super like lightweight, right? Just your own body weight, nothing else, no weight vest on you or anything like that. Just your body free sprinting. And then you have like a one rep max, like squat with bands and chains. Right. Those are like the two polar ends or an isometric. Technically, isometric would be more intense because you're pushing into pins or whatever. But like, let's just say like something with movement, right? With like a quasi isometric, like a slow as possible grinder of a squat that you're like about to pass out from. Right. That grinder squat is going to be the telltale of everything else. The running is not going to tell you how much weight you're going to lift, but your absolute strength is going to drive all other strengths. So I have a friend of mine, Red Pill Physique. He's awesome. You should follow him on Instagram. He's the man. He's out in Australia, trying to get people to think differently out there. I pray for Australians, but anyway, so he was talking about how his, bodybuilder friend who's way bigger than him, right? He said he noticed that he beat him on the reps, but like one or two reps when it came to medium weight. But as soon as it got heavy, dude couldn't hang. Just was like not, the strength was not there. And this guy's like just a big bodybuilder, whatever. I'm like, yeah, dude, he works in that middle range where he's like medium weight, you know, might put some intensity into a go to a failure or whatever, but he's not really putting up like crazy numbers and he's not working like he's not sprinting or doing any like running or whatever. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, that guy's going to be a little bit more biased towards the middle of the curve where he's going to probably beat you slightly. And I'm like, but did you like, you were like, he's like, I was right there. I was like a rep or two behind. I'm like, okay, do you lift like that? He's like, no. I'm like, so you did less work. You went with more efficient stuff. This dude's like rack pulling, like, you know, like he's in kg, he's probably like 600 pounds whatever for like reps to work on his traps, like doing power shrugs and stuff like this. Yeah. He's strong. I'd rather be him than the bodybuilder guy because his strength capacity is up. I'll tell you when it comes to like running, so I have some clients who are obsessed with running and I don't program their running. I tell them, I go, that's not my wheelhouse. You're into running. I hate running. I kick the heavy bag. I'll do burpees. I'll do like circuit training or whatever for cardio. I don't like running. I'm good at sprinting. I hate long distance running. I'm 5'7". Right. So I'm like, you program your running. I will program your strength training for the runs. And I had a client that stopped running for a month or whatever. She was like doing something with business. It was like super cold. And she expected to return to running out of shape. She's like, oh, dude, I'm going to get wrecked. I haven't ran in so long. She's like, Mike, I smoked all my times. I was even out of breath. Yeah. Like, yeah, you got stronger. Think about it as numbers, right? You're decreasing the stronger you get. You're decreasing ground contact time, right? You're increasing your stride length, especially if you're working on mobility as well, right? And you're improving or increasing the force production off each leg, right? So it's a giant effect. And they run faster, getting stronger. And they're less winded because they put less effort. So if their gas tank goes to 100 and now they're only putting out 20%, before their gas tank was at 60, now they're putting out a higher percentage of what their capabilities are to do the same job. You know, my V8 Mustang that I had got better gas mileage than the V6 I had when I was 17 years old because it was a bigger engine doing less work to get the same job done. And people were like, what? So I try to relate things to cars.
No, I car analogies are the best. but no, that's the same way. So like I was obsessed with dunking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I'm skinny, fat Indian kid, like 5'11". But the formula, that this was my simple formula in my head. I'm like, hey, okay, I don't want any excess body fat because that's not contract
type. Wait, yep.
It's not contracting and producing force. B, I want to get as physically strong as possible so I can put more force into the ground. And then the lighter I am, I can propel. Basically, I can throw my body into the air easier with less effort.
Force equals mass times acceleration.
And then the third piece was like, I just practice jumping, like, you call it plyometrics. I
jump more.
What was that?
Yeah. You want to get better at jumping? Jump more.
Jump more. Yeah. And it was like, oh, it's so simple and easy. And same goes for running. So many people go like, oh yeah, I want to. They do the same thing with running and marathons that they do with powerlifting. Two different groups, but it's like
they run 30 miles a week, or 30 miles in one. I got to do a marathon to get good at a marathon.
Well, and I ask them like, why are you doing this? And like, oh, because to do it. And I'm like, but why? Because what we think is, I'm thinking you're here because you want to lose fat and feel better, but you just think running will do that for you. And so some people are like, no, I just like running. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, first thing we got to do is we got to lose these 40 pounds because that's not helping anything. We don't need to run. let's get your body weight where it should be and let's get you strong. And same, that story over and over again that you just said, it's like, I went back to running and I beat all my times. Like,
yep. Yep. Yeah. There's an obsession with like sports specific nowadays. Like there's so many guys, I don't want to say his name, but there's like one guy who just comes up with these wacky exercises and like, don't get me wrong. Like there's probably a time and place for everything, but the amount of effort that this guy spends on coming up with all these like crazy creative ideas, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, listen, you're neglecting this whole system. And you're like, oh, well, if I get really good at turning this hockey stick this way, like I'll throw the hockey stick faster. I'm like, dude, if I keep that guy at the same weight and I put 100 pounds on all his lifts, that guy is going to launch the hockey stick or the hockey puck. As long as he's good at hockey. Right. You know what I mean? So he trains hockey in one part and then you just get his overall system up. You're like, big thing is with punching power, med ball tosses, throwing a medicine ball, whatever. I'm like, dude, throwing a punch and throwing a medicine ball are two different things. Throwing a medicine ball is going to get you good at throwing a medicine ball. You know what I mean? Like you want to get like,
yeah, you work with a lot of, younger athletes too, or no?
The way I see it is, if someone I work with anybody who like is coachable, you know, like I have my oldest client is 78 years old. She is a genius. She's a piano virtuosa, like just at master, like she's almost 80. This lady is insane at piano. Like, she's reached level of mastery. Her mind is massive. She is bright. She's sharp. She's on top of it. You know, she comes in a whole underarmer get up and everything. Like she's got it going on. You know what I mean? Like she's killing it. Like in everything she does. As we're training, I teach her philosophy behind it and she relates everything to piano and she gets faster results than anybody else because she's like an expert. I enjoy training her. You know, I have a client, Jennifer, shout out to Jennifer. She's awesome. She is obsessed with Muay Thai and striking. And I told her, I'm like, I'm gonna build you up from ground up. She went to some dork for like 4 years. He never taught her anything. Some fat guy. Oh, it was a Thai fighter in the 90s. Dude's like rhythm stepping and doing all this. Like he's making mistakes with her as a pad holder. I'm like, you're gonna emulate him and he sucks, so you know, like you're so in like I want to say 8 months she probably got like 5 years worth of experience just doing privates, and she's now on board that hey, you want your punching power to go up, there's only so much punching that you can do to increase your punching power. I need your hips strong, I need your glutes strong, your hamstrings, you need to be explosive and strong. Like your deadlift goes up, your squat goes up, your punch goes up. Trust me on that, you know? And she's seeing the light now and now she's on board. But yeah, I'll train anybody. I don't really care.
I asked you that because, you know, a lot of times with parents, they'll go like, they want their kids to be in specific sports and, and they spend all this time and money on sports specific stuff. And I'm like, when anytime a parent talks to me, I'm like, look, I'll tell you from experience, because I was that kid. If somebody, all I needed, I didn't need more basketball because I played all day, every day.
Less basketball, more weights.
That's all I needed. And I'm like, look, you get your kids strong as, you know, and it doesn't take a lot either, you know. your kid will go to the top of his team, his league, and the region like this. If he's that obsessed with the sport, you put him in a stronger body. Like, that's all you need. You don't need all this other stuff. But, and also to your point about Jennifer, is like, being a stronger athlete will make you a better athlete.
Correct.
You don't need to deadlift 600 pounds, but guarantee you there's not a lot of people you're competing with who can deadlift double body weight.
Yep. And I use MMA obviously a lot for examples. Zurchers, right? I'll do like a pin Zurcher squat and I'll be like 8 inches range of motion, right? And everyone's like, oh bro, lower the weight, do more range of motion, you'll get more muscles that way, blah blah. I'm like, dude, if I'm fighting at 155 pounds, I just Zurchered 645 pounds for 8 inches. When I go to double leg you against a cage, you weigh 155 pounds and I'm also moving you 8 inches. I am going to be able to carry you and throw you over the fence if I wanted to. You know what I mean? Like they, so that's the type of sports specific stuff that I do, but it's like absolute strength sports specific. It's not like picking up 150 pound dummy 1,000 times. It's not, you know, like it'll help with endurance, but you know, I heard that so many times, like, bro, I only lift at 155 because I fight 155. I'm like, okay, is that 155 pound person you're fighting standing still like this? Are they running at you or like going, because they're producing a lot more than 155 pounds of force when they're coming at you. So if I can handle 600 or like, you know, like I did on that machine squat yesterday, I did like 695 for 7. Will I ever need to lift 695 in real life? I hope not. But it makes carrying fridges and all this other stuff way easier, you know, carrying people way easier. And also it's force absorption. I recently got into snowboarding. I took some wicked falls going like 35 miles an hour. And I said, I'm like, if I was skinny and weak, I would have broke all my shit on that. And I am not touched after, you know what I mean? Like taking crazy falls.
It's crazy how many people I hear them like, so many people get these skiing and snowboarding injuries. I'm like, what the, like,
it's your body weight.
Like, yeah. Shit, like, get strong. I get, and you know,
and mobile, you know, like strength in range is if you're super strong, but you're like immobile and you land on your shoulder wrong and you pop something. 100%. But if you got full range of motion in your shoulder and you could like, you know, if I can take 85 pounds of a barbell and bring it back beyond 180 degrees or whatever, if I land and I post that a little bit, I'll probably be fine, you know, or you'll mitigate injury and the catastrophic shoulder surgery and I tore all these ligaments, all that stuff turns into like, I think I tweaked something. I'll be good in a week. I'll just do bands for like a week and I'll be back to, you know, PRs the next week after that.
Yeah. No, that's why I mean, I just keep going back to strength. Strength changed my life, obviously. But it's like,
strength is
like,
never a weakness. Louis
strength Simmons. Is never a weakness. Love it. Also reminded me of another one. It was going through my own little notes. It was big isn't strong. Strong is strong.
Strong is strong. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Love that. Love.
I like one of my favorite ones is Louis said. They go. He was using bands on a barbell, and some dork was like, yeah, "You didn't invent bands." He goes, "I didn't invent toilet paper either, but I'm smart enough to use it."
did you ever work with Louis never got to meet him?
No, I've gotten some coaching and I've read that everything. That TV book stand over there, those three things, that's not for DVDs. That's all I have, the entire thing all filled with every book Louis Simmons ever wrote. Like I have all the books he recommends that he didn't write. I'm a nerd. I read a lot, but no, unfortunately, I didn't know he wasn't doing too hot. I know he was like older, but like everyone's, I'm like, after I graduate school, I'm going to go, I want to do like internship and stuff like that. Just to, you know, I think he really helped be able to help them out a lot with mobility and just doing freaky shit. And like, you know, but he ended up passing away, but I've gotten some coaching from some guys that are direct from Louis. Yeah. And I probably watched more Louis interviews, videos, podcasts than, most people have in their entire life. Like when I get into something, I go all out. So it was obsessed with him for a long time. And now I, you know, just incorporate it and, you know, I keep up with Conjugate Club and I follow a bunch of their really good athletes. And cause you know, things change over time. Some guys find success with different rep ranges than others. You know, Mr. 3000 figured out that, hey, you know what? He kind of strayed away from Louis for a little bit because all that band tension, the percentages with the amount of weight he was lifting was fucking his shoulders up, because now he's at like 600 pounds of band tension. And he's like, dude, I'm getting wrecked. I need to do like a little bit less percentages. So, you know, there's always a little bit of room for play and adjustments and, you know,
evolution, you know?
Yep. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. Things change.
You know, Jordan Syatt. Jordan Syatt. He's a very well known online coach as well. He's okay. A good friend of mine.
How do you spell his last name?
S Y A T T.
Jordan. I'll tell you right now because I'm good with faces, not names. I've seen his reels before.
Yes. So yeah. Jordan, like, he's completely gem pop. Like, he doesn't even mention a lot of these things, but this guy did, he hit a 4x body weight deadlift. And he got a chance to work. He interned for Louis.
And I know who he is. He's small, right? He's like 135. He hit like 700 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something I see
crazy.
Him.
But so he would tell me some hilarious stories and like about Louis and how great that experience was. And that's what I've heard over and over again. But one more quote that I love from Louis Simmons was, he goes, "You can never be too rich. You can never be too good looking, and you can never be too strong."
Too strong. Yep.
Speaking of dorks.
My favorite word, by the way.
Yeah. Ever since you said it the other day, I was like, yeah, these guys are dorks. In the most loving way possible.
I say nerd is positive. If you're a nerd, that means you're like, oh, he's smart at what he does. Yeah. Dork is you're a dork.
Yeah. These guys, more and more, they go, yeah, you know, I don't want to get too strong, or I don't want to get too big or whatever. And I just sit there. I'm like, why is going on? What do you, it doesn't make sense to me. Cause like, I grew up, I was like watching, Stallone, Bruce, all this. It's like, I want to get jacked and strong as humanly possible. I want to make as much money as possible. I want to look as good as possible. What is this thing going on where guys are like, and you're not gonna get
it's
big.
It's low test. Yeah, it's like, dude, you can't bench 135. I wouldn't worry too much about getting too big, or you know, like, I don't want to get too into it. But it's just low test. And you know, you got to think like I always tell people, your hormones are, they're demand. Things are demand driven. Everyone is like input output. I'm like, it's a dance between the both. Like the input influences the output. The output influences the input. Right, vice versa. I'm like, dude, you sit at a desk for like 9 hours a day. You don't lift anything. You don't leave the chair. That's why you have low T. Why would your body reward you with crazy high testosterone if there's no demand for it? You're not doing shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, you're letting the girl make all the decisions the whole time, whatever. Like, why would you have high T? Well, it's funny. One of my good friends is a very famous law enforcement person. I'll just say that. And his testosterone shot up 200 points when he became, I won't tell his position, when he became that higher position. 200 points, did nothing else. He was put in a position of leadership, needed tests to step up and to become leader. They do. There was a study on it where they women that were like CEOs of companies or something, or like, you know, where they become a boss or a CEO, the woman's test shoots through the roof. It's demand driven. It's not all about your diet. I mean, obviously that matters too, but it's effort, you know, like people have low T, they're usually lifting low weights, you know, like, I do 4 sets of 12 or whatever. I'm like, cool. I do that with accessory, but like, you still need to like max out, you know, often.
I totally like there's all kinds of science now, showing that evidence, but I always had this, you know, you always have these like inklings or these whatever. It's like, what you think is far more powerful than like, you know how many people I'm sure we both know, like, I eat healthy and I work out pretty good, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, your health is trash. And they eat all the healthy shit. I take vitamins. I'm like, but there's no results. And there's no results is because you're, let's see, still there.
He's back. You're saying they ate all the healthy foods, but they're still unhealthy.
Yeah, that's because your thoughts are weak and your emotions are weak. You know that's okay. Like, that's not a reason to beat yourself up, but you got to realize, you got to see the connections. You got to make that observation, you know, like,
yep.
If this person never says they get sick and they never get sick, and yet all these people who are like, oh, I think I'm getting sick, they're always sick. Like, there's a connection there. You know,
it's so powerful, and everyone's like, oh, let me see the study for that or whatever. I tell people, if your life is dependent upon studies to prove things, you will be miserable your entire life. You'll be weak, you'll be unhealthy, you'll be on every pill known to man, and you'll be mentally just fried all the time, like just in fever and all that stuff. I go off anecdote, which everyone's like, oh, if 1,000 people are doing something and it's all working, there's probably something to it. You know what I mean? Like, especially with strength, you know, it's so funny. Well, I have books on strength that are from like the 1800s that I've read, and these guys have no degree. They started working from the age of 5. Like, they never even went to school. They were like, oh, I had to go work in the copper mine or whatever, you know, to feed my family. They write so eloquently. It's like they would have like 3 PhDs nowadays on how eloquent they write, and they might use different words, but everything they said, I'm like, it's timeless. Like, truth is timeless. There's nothing new under the sun, right? And now the studies are like, oh, actually the study is proving that. I'm like, yeah, I didn't need the study. I just look at that guy. He's stronger than me. I'm going to listen to whatever the hell he said in that department. You know, if he's overhead press expert, I'll listen to him on overhead presses.
And I've made podcast episodes in the past about the studies and the science and all this shit. And I'm like, look, if I listened to the science, I wouldn't have ended up deadlifting 500 pounds weighing 155. Like, that wouldn't, according to the science, there's no science telling me how to do that.
Yeah.
But I listened to people who were doing that, like, and that's why we were able to get there. And it's like, the silly thing is, like, you don't even understand how to read a study. Even if the studies were there, you don't know the context. You don't know how did they set it up. Does it actually make sense? Was it controlled?
Who was in the study?
Who's doing it? Was it funded by somebody? Like, all these things, you're just reading the little abstract and then like extrapolating and living your life based on that bullshit. But why is the real results not as, why does that hold no weight versus a piece of paper?
Because the piece of paper has got money involved.
Exactly.
I'm a huge proponent of fasting. People think I'm like copping out sometimes, but like, it's the simplest solution to like everything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my back's hurting, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, listen, I'm taking care of the strength portion of it. I'm like, you need to fast. I'm like, dude, you've been eating shit your entire life. I'm like, you need to take time off from eating. Like, literally, I don't care if you do intermittent fasting. The best is to do long, prolonged water fast combined with intermittent fasting in an ideal scenario. But no one's going to, you know, it takes a very strong, dedicated person to even, oh, most people go, oh, I could never do that. You're right. Until you just try it one day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I tell people the longest fast was like 365 or 384 days. I don't remember what it was. The guy lost like close to 400 pounds, and he was supposed to stop after 40 days. He was like going to do like the Jesus fast or whatever. And he just goes, I'm going to keep going. I feel amazing. He was just burning pure body fat. The dude like lost all his weight, and he ended up dying later on in life in the 80s. And like, I think he dropped down to like 170 or something. I'm probably off by 10 pounds, but he like went down to 170, and then he never went past like 180 for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Because he took off the right way.
Yeah. And that, I think I remember that. That's a pretty famous case study or story.
Austrian or German guy. His name was like Arthur or something. I don't remember details. I remember like concepts.
No, I'm with you. By the way, I gotta know what the rest of your library holds, because I love all the old stuff. I try to get my hands on as much stuff as possible.
I'll send you a picture. I got some weird books, and then I gotta send you a screenshot too, because I have some digital ones, because I signed up for like Kindle or something, and then I got an email one time, and they're like, you have like 15 credits about to expire. So I just bought like every old book. I'm like, I just typed in strength training, and then like just one off
random shit comes up. Yep.
What's your
current like training looking like, or you have any focus right now, or are you just kind of cruising?
Never cruising, but I'm always cruising. What's my focus right now? I am going for like a 500 pound like squat, like real squat, like full, like, you know, ass like range, grass. Everything. Like, I wouldn't say ass to grass, but like a nice, like maybe like an inch below parallel or something. You know, I don't need to ass to grass 500. You know what I mean? But
no one does.
Yeah, I'm going for that, and I'm going for like a 500 conventional deadlift or whatever. I do a lot of, I don't do sumo, like extra wide sumo. I'll do it for accessory because I do everything. But I usually like do like a frog stance or mod sumo, like kind of like Ed Cohen, like his type stance. So not extra wide, moving the bar three. And then like a 500-pound like feet together, like conventional deadlift. And those are just like powerlifting goals, and I don't even compete in powerlifting. But honestly, I just tell people, I'm just trying to improve everything all at once forever. Like, you know, like anything I haven't done that in a while, I just incorporate it, and then I hit a PR and it goes, you know. My goals, interesting. I'm kind of like the West Side guys when it comes to like that blasé attitude. Like, they picked out what they were doing that morning at breakfast, and like, that's how I am. I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't done the Swiss bar against bands, against red bands in a while, and I'll just, you know,
do that.
But yeah, I just go with the flow, man. Like, I'm at that point where, like, you know, and obviously there's some content influence as well.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like, yeah, I haven't put out some content like that, maybe I'll hit that in my workout, like, you know, help other people out too. But yeah, it's pretty dynamic, just changes. I think, I don't know, I keep going back and forth. I think I may go back to MMA in to fight in a cage within a year or so. To me, I want to hit all these like crazy strength goals first, and then like go with all that strength into a like lower weight class and just dominate. I always use Alexander Volkanovski as an example for people.
He just fought recently, right? The Australian.
Yeah, he did amazing. He made crazy. Islam, I mean, Islam's amazing. Don't get me wrong, but he showed everybody that Islam is not Khabib. Khabib is another level of mindset and everything. He's not in anybody's shadow. This guy's trying to, you know, like, you not let Khabib down and stuff. Like, he's just a different person. Khabib's another animal. But Volkanovski, people don't know this about him, he used to be like 200 or 300 pounds or whatever. He played rugby. There's pictures of him, you can look it up. He was like fat and stuff, but he was like, you know, like a meatball. And I tell people, I'm like, you don't think that influences his strength now? He was tossing dudes around at 300 pounds or whatever, and he's 5'6". And so now he's like now he fights at like 45 and 55. That dude's got bone density memory. You know, he's got connective tissues from a fat person. Like, that, he is a freak strength. People don't realize that they give him too much credit on his technique and everything, but people don't realize that dude is strength.
That's what I was saying. Like,
I
love playing against bigger athletes because I get to, number one, like, when I play against like people my, you know, anybody who's not as strong as me, I like can cheating. Do whatever I want. I can just physically do whatever I want. But when I have to play against a much bigger athlete, then it's like, oh, okay, now we get to really, now it's chess, you know? But man, like, you don't realize how much of a difference strength makes. And that makes perfect sense. I'm looking at his pictures. Like, the way that he was, you know, moving in there and having his way with in that, oh shit, do we freeze again? Skills, dude, this is brutal.
It is Silicon Valley.
Dude, it's nuts. What I was saying was, like, yeah, like, that makes perfect sense. Like, I was just looking at his pictures, like, no wonder he's like that strength. It makes perfect sense.
Yep. Yeah. That's what I tell anyone that's trying to lose weight. I'm like, hey, you got an advantage. I'm like, you're going to take a lot of strength from when you're bigger to go down. It's very rare to someone go, hey, I'm going to gain 60 pounds and then cut 60. You know, it's like not a deliberate bulk, you know, but unless you're doing other things. But
yeah, well, it's a different conversation. We'll wrap it up. We could fucking talk. I love talking about this shit. We can talk for hours.
Yeah, I'll do another one. I don't care.
No, dude, we definitely will. Anything, like, where can people find you? I'll link everything and whatnot, but
yeah.
Anything else you want to share or
whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm on Instagram. My name is The Neuro Strength Coach. Neuro is in neurological. I work for a company called Pursuit Health and Performance. So that's where all my clients get trained through. Well, we got a couple of really good coaches that are like expert online coaches, you know what I mean? Like, and studs too in person. But yeah, that's what we do. The reason why I do in person as well. I'm in Gilbert, Arizona. So if you're looking for some one-on-one work and you're in the Valley, let me know. But closing statements. Yeah, don't listen to people. Those are weak people. Especially weak people. Yeah, especially weak people. But yeah, I would just say the internet is an awesome place, but the comment section is not. I would just say you got to experiment. Like, you can have all the degrees in the world. I have tons of certs or whatever, but I tell people, like, the certs just show that I care, you know, that I'm like dead. Like, I'm like, oh, cool. I want to learn about this. But you really need experience, and you know, authority without experience is worthless. You have people with PhDs that, you know, I have a master's in exercise physiology and blah, 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 blah. Nothing great ever came out of that. You know what I mean? Like, Louis Simmons talk about it all the time. Like, cool, you have a degree, but you have no idea how to even create a 315 bench, let alone a 700 pound bench, you know? So all the education in the world only goes so far. You gotta create results with it, and you gotta know that the shit works. So, you know, I've been a trainer for almost 13 years now, and you know, it sounds messed up, but you experiment on your clients. It is what it is. How else are you gonna get good? So you know, I iron stuff out, and now it's just autopilot, man. You follow along, you know, results are not guaranteed, but they're pretty much guaranteed as long as you follow the path. So just get on a path, stick with it, and you know, you might have some hiccups, but just keep on going.
Yeah, the hiccups are all part of the process, and you know, then you're getting feedback. You're getting real time feedback. That's all it is. Yeah. To go back to that statement, don't listen to people, which I agree, don't listen to most people, but then it always reminds me of that Arnold clip from that movie where he goes, where he's yelling at those two guys, like, you don't fucking yell at me, you with your 50% body fat and you scrawny bastard.
Yep. Put that cookie down now.
Dude, so good. All right, man. This is dope.
I appreciate you having me. Definitely got to do this again.
We will definitely do it again. I'll see you later, my man.
Cool. You got it, brother.